Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington, D.C.
They are saying that there could be rigging of electoral frauds, but as of now, there is no evidence of anything of that sort happening.
Voters in Mauritius go to the polls on Sunday to choose a new parliament.
So that when he appoints a cabinet, he will get people from all these three political parties, those who have won elections, who are members of parliament.
New Botswana President Duma Boko plans to name his cabinet beginning on Monday.
We have families who are struggling to afford basic necessities amid a skyrocketing cost of living. We have schools that are in dying states, lacking essential infrastructure and resources. We have a healthcare system that is in shambles.
And Cameroon opposition demands change in the country's leadership. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. In Mauritius, Prime Minister Pravind Kumar Jugnauth and rival candidates make promises to voters as they go to the polls to choose a new parliament on Sunday. In Sunday's vote, the party with a majority in the 62-member parliament forms the government and chooses the prime minister. This as incumbent Prime Minister Jugnauth seeks a second term. Local media reports say the opposition is confident of winning, but also warn of voter irregularities and rigging ahead of the poll. Officials of the Electoral Commission say the results will begin trickling in on Monday. For the latest development, including key issues voters consider while choosing for the new parliament, I reach Ashokbi Hari. He is the chairperson of Media Trust. It's an organization whose mission is training and capacity building for media professionals.
We are a vibrant democracy. The opposition parties, there are many parties, but there is a one main alliance, a bloc, consisting of four political parties, the Labour Party, the MMM, the Nouveau Démocrate, and the Résistance Alternative. Every day they say they are very confident. They say they will win a large majority. But their main concern the last few days is about procedures, electoral procedures. You know, the election in Mauritius is conducted in a manual way. There is no electronic voting. So people go to the election, to the polling center. They get a ballot paper, and they have to elect three candidates in Mauritius and two candidates in a dependent island called Rorik. So they think they are saying that there could be rigging of electoral frauds, but as at now, there is no evidence of anything of that sort happening, because the election, the National Assembly elections are conducted by an independent body, which is the Office of the Electoral Commissioner. And there is an Electoral Supervisory Commission.
Ashok, yes. Has the Electoral Commission given any cause for which reason these opposition parties think the transparency and the credibility of the election could be in doubt?
The main issue is about procedures. It's very bureaucratic. There are a lot of procedures. The Office of the Electoral Commissioner held a press conference to clear the air and to explain everything, how the election is conducted, and to say that they are in contact with the opposition parties. They have been communicating and giving all information in all transparency to the opposition leaders to assure them that everything is conducted in a democratic, free, and fair manner.
What are the three key issues that the people of Mauritius are voting on?
The main concerns would be the economic and social policies, the consolidation of our democratic fabric, and what the people can benefit from the political manifesto. There are a lot of promises in terms of income support, allowances to be paid. So people expect a lot. because these elections are marked by promises, you know, what the new government would be offering in terms of salary, in terms of income support, in terms of allowances to the youngsters, to married people, etc. So this is a predominant issue over and above the main traditional themes: democracy, social policies, and economic policies.
Did the Electoral Commission say how long it would take for the people of Mauritius to know the outcome of Sunday's election?
Yes, the conduct of elections is regulated, is well regulated in Mauritius. How the election is done and how the polling and counting processes take place is provided by the Constitution of Mauritius, but also by laws such as the Representation of People Act, and there are regulations also. And the counting takes place the next day. And by the early afternoon, we will get the trend, who is winning the election. And by late evening, the results in the 21 constituencies should be made public. So the counting is done manually, and there are partial results that come out every 2 or 3 hours, as from noon, and by, as I told you, by late evening, during the night, we will know which party or which alliance has won on Monday evening. So whether the ruling governor party's alliance will win, or the opposition, the main opposition bloc.
Ashok B. Hari is the chairperson of Media Trust. It's an organization whose mission is training and capacity building for media professionals. He spoke with me from the Mauritian capital, Port Louis. In Uganda, the Opposition Justice Forum, or JIM, says the recent use of force by state security agents in parliament was, quote, a blatant disregard for the rule of law. This after expressing concern that the presence of security officers in parliament during a discussion appears to be aimed at intimidating and harassing lawmakers. It came after security was called to parliament to maintain law and order following a fight between two opposition lawmakers. This after parliament passed the National Coffee Amendment Bill, which transferred the Uganda Coffee Development Authority's responsibilities to the Ministry of Agriculture, Animal Industry and Fisheries. Katerega Mohammed is the General Secretary of the JIMA Party. He tells me that it condemns what he says is the routine invasion of parliament by security agents who, he says, resort to violence and torture against members.
Okay, recently there was a scuffle in the parliament of Uganda between two members of parliament. It was very unfortunate that the two honorable members could settle their misunderstanding by punching blows to each other. But there was no need for the security forces to come in, to close the session of parliament, switching off lights and forcing some members of parliament out of the house. We condemn it in the strongest terms possible, and we call upon the government to ensure that that does not happen again in the parliament.
But Mohammed, some reports suggest the security officers were invited to come and control affairs to maintain law and order in parliament.
By the time the security forces came in, they just had settled. The sergeant at arms had intervened, and the member of parliament from northern Uganda had been taken away. So there was no need for the security guys to come in. But the purpose of the security forces to come in was to cause intimidation, because the bill, which was under consideration, was a bit hot, and the government was not so sure which side it will go. And that's why I think they brought in the security forces on the pretext of bringing something in the house. But again, we condemn the behaviors of the two members of parliament. It is very unfortunate that they could go that way.
But Mohammed, why do you think this was intimidation or harassment from the security forces? Because the NRM, the ruling party, enjoys an overwhelming majority in parliament. Some are accusing the two members of parliament who engage in this fight as a pre-staged event just to frustrate the government from passing that bill you are talking about.
That could be true, but again, it could not call in for the sweetheart coming. Because, as I told you, the dust had already settled. The MOP who was punched, Honorable Zaki, had been taken away. And the situation had come back to normal. The NRM in Parliament, but normally they don't want to take chances. They normally use security forces to get what they want. Remember in 2017, when there was a contentious bill on the floor removing the age limit in Parliament, it also happened that way.
But this is not the first time where scuffles have happened in Parliament. There have been fights, blows exchanged in Parliament, and violence in Parliament. Why do you think this keep occurring? Because in some instances, the security officers are called in to try to maintain law and order if those who are supposed to craft the laws themselves are unruly in Parliament. Then, you know, an external body, in this case the security forces, would have to be called in to maintain law and order. Why do you think this is intimidation?
It is because the government has been said that it will not to leave any stone unturned. They said they were determined to see the bill going their side, and that's why we think if it was a pre-staged scuffle, then it must have been arranged by the government using those MPs.
Katerega Mohammed is the general secretary of the opposition Juma Party. He spoke with me from the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. And we will be on with you every single day from 1500 to 1600 Universal, right here on this very radio station, playing requests and dedications, except on Tuesday when we play our Music Spotlight feature, Artist of the Week. And this week we've got Mark Bryan. Tune us in right here on VOA Africa.
In Botswana, newly installed President Duma Boko is scheduled to name his cabinet beginning on Monday. It comes after the former opposition leader was sworn in on Friday. Boko's installation ended the 58-year political dominance of the Botswana Democratic Party, or BDP. Boko led the opposition coalition called the Umbrella for Democratic Change to win 36 parliamentary seats to end former President Mokgweetsi Masisi's re-election bid. For analysis and expectations of the new administration, I reached Zibani Maonden. He is a lecturer at the University of Botswana.
There are three political parties which are part of the coalition. So that when he appoints a cabinet, he will get people from all these three political parties. Those who have won elections, who are members of parliament. So he will be picking from these. And I believe because they won enough seats to run a government by themselves, they will pick cabinet members from among themselves. I think he has enough people to form a government without the need to partner with any other political party.
Expectations appear to be very high. And in one of his speeches, he told the people of Botswana that he dares not fail. What are your thoughts on his statements?
Yes, he comes in at a difficult time for the country. You'll recall the economy was not doing well for several months, about 11 months or so. Unemployment was also high, corruption was also high. He will have to address all these things. And obviously, he will have to revive the economy, stabilize the revenues of the country, create employment for the young graduates who supported his campaign. He cannot fail. Otherwise, we find ourselves in a disaster.
But do you think the people of Botswana will give him the needed time, especially with expectations so high?
I believe so. They are 100% behind him. They gave him all the support that he wanted during the campaign. I believe they will be patient with him. They understand that we need to renegotiate with the BS Mining Company, for instance, to enter into a new deal for our diamonds. Negotiations will take time. They are not a one-off thing, and we're not even sure when the negotiations will be concluded. So people, I think, they are aware. They are aware of the difficulties that face the new government, and should be willing to be patient enough to allow him to find his way out of all these things.
Where do you think it went wrong for President Masisi and the former ruling party? Because then they've politically dominated the landscape in Botswana since independence in 1966.
There was a lot of poor governance everywhere, even within the ruling party itself. He had turned himself into an authoritarian figure and was fomenting his own party people. On top of that, he alienated the BS Diamond Mining Company to the extent that the company was now ready to leave Botswana. He gave an impression that we no longer need the BS anymore. There are enough diamond companies around the world that can partner with Botswana. And that really hurt the sales of our diamonds. On top of that, there was high unemployment, high corruption within his government. Imagine, his own Minister of Finance, during the COVID lockdowns, he announced to the nation that 35% of government revenues were lost through corruption and waste. And he fired the minister. Instead of addressing the issues the minister is pointing out, he fires the minister. So people got convinced of it. This guy was no longer fighting corruption. He was no longer in government for the people. He was in government for himself. And they had enough of him. And that was the end result.
Zibani Maunden is a lecturer at the University of Botswana. He spoke with me from the capital, Gaborone. In Namibia, the leader of the Opposition Congress of Democrats, or COD, says the party has stepped up its campaign ahead of the coming November 27 general election. Vianno Amutani, the president of the COD, is also expressing confidence that his party will perform better in this year's vote. His remarks come after the opposition party failed to sign the Code of Conduct pledge from the Electoral Commission. The code guides political parties and campaigning during the election process. For more about the electoral prospects of the Congress of Democrat Party, or COD, I reach its presidential candidate, Vianno Amutani.
I'll be going there next week because I could not go there because I'm planning to go for the funeral next week. I'm staying out of Windhoek in the north of Namibia. So going there 700 kilometers from where I am staying in Oshakati, come back and go again back to the funeral of our representative who passed on in Johannesburg. It's a little bit costly. So I called one of the officials of the ECN and we agreed that I will sign when I get there next week.
We heard a lot of political parties have stepped up their campaign ahead of the election, but some minor political parties, as we speak, they mentioned your party is having challenges with resources that will help them to reach all the corners of Namibia to ramp up support for the elections. Talk to me about some of these challenges you face.
No, the challenge is that COD does not have any income because we don't have a seat in parliament. That's one. And also from the business communities and other people, they are more want to support those who are shining already. They don't want to support the party that are struggling. So that it's become a bit difficult for us. But fortunately, CODL is an old political party, and the members are there. It's only that the party was a bit disappeared from the scene. Now we are promoting the party, and we are reuniting with old members, and we are also getting new members.
What do you think your chances are in winning some of the parliamentary and even being the presidential election? What do you think your party's chances are?
We have a problem of we don't have transport. We don't have campaign materials enough. We also don't have fund. So we only use social media to campaign, and also using our conduct person in different constituencies. That's all. But they are just there also communicating through telephone, WhatsApp, and other means that are affordable to them. But to do a proper campaign like a drive-through or the bringing to people together for a rally, it's totally difficult for the party like COD. I'm happy that this time we don't have EVM on the election, and we are also going to count ballot on the spot. It encouraged us to campaign because we know the process that is going to be used this time, we will benefit from that process.
Some people are suggesting that for smaller or minor political parties, why don't you join bigger political parties to increase your chances of success?
Yes, but you see, the problem of uniting or joining other parties, we have party leaders that still have a swap membership card. You cannot join together with someone that also a member of the party that you want to remove from power.
Vaeno Amutenu is the president of the opposition party Congress of Democratic Party, or COD. He spoke with me from the Namibian capital, Windhoek. In Cameroon, the Opposition Social Democratic Front, or SDF, says a change in national leadership is the only way to transform the country and the lives of its people. It also adds that it appears the ruling party has no fresh ideas for meeting the aspirations of the country's youth. The statement comes as supporters of the governing Cameroonian People's Democratic Movement, or CPDM, celebrate the 42nd anniversary of President Paul Biya's leadership as head of state of the Central African country. The party recently confirmed the 91-year-old leader as its presidential candidate for the coming general election. But critics say Biya is too old and lacks the energy to effectively manage the country's affairs. Richard Indifo is the SDF Secretary for Political Education and Training. He tells me that Cameroon needs new leaders to help improve living standards.
42 years of Paul Biya has been a 42 years of retrogression rather than progress. 42 years and you come to Cameroon and Cameroon looks like abandoned. Our highways and city streets are crumbling, with potholes and inadequate infrastructure almost everywhere, including in urban cities. We have families who are struggling to afford basic necessities amid a skyrocketing cost of living. We have schools that are in dying states, lacking essential infrastructure and resources. We have a healthcare system that is in shambles, with hospitals overwhelmed and unable to provide even the most basic medical care. And we have a conflict, you know, we have armed conflict in several parts of Cameroon and a government that is unable to address all of this.
Top ruling party officials are saying that the president has supervised the transformation of Cameroon, free speech, democracy, and that the transformation has led to the
creation of opportunities for the Cameroonian youth to be innovative, and that these criticisms that you are alluding to are not new, they are worn out.
The issue of democracy, that they claim that there is democracy today, that was literally forced down the throat of the CPDM by the SDF in 1990. In 1990, when the whole of the wind of change was blowing across Africa, CPDM militants were going around the country protesting the reintroduction of multi-party democracy. And the SDF literally forced this down their throat. What democracy did they give us? They give us half-baked democracy. We find a situation where political parties cannot carry out peaceful protest, and they tell you to go get an authorization from administrators before they can carry out peaceful protest. And in most cases, 95% of the cases, those authorizations are not granted. Even asking about the health of the president of the republic is a taboo. It's a taboo, and people have to be banned from even mentioning or even talking about it.
Some of the CPDM officials, the ruling party officials, are saying that all what the opposition appears to be criticizing the leadership of the administration for are just mere politics for them to come to power, and that the people of Cameroon are seeing the visible signs of economic policies and economic transformation in their daily lives. And unlike other countries, no. Cameroonians are free and they are enjoying good food, and that is why there's peace and tranquility.
First of all, let me be clear. What in Cameroon is peace? Peace does not necessarily mean the absence of war. In fact, there are actually wars in several parts of the country. But what they call peace is not peace. People have been intimidated to stay quiet. And when he talks about visible, Peter, that you come over to Cameroon and take a walk around Cameroon and look at the cities, look at what they even call cities. Some of those cities do not even qualify. The roads you look, you go around the country, highways, and there are potholes everywhere. You cannot travel a city like Douala to Yaoundé in a smooth highway. You find potholes everywhere. There are series of accidents that occur on a daily basis on these very narrow roads that do not even have road signs, that do not even have electricity. And we call these visible signs of progress in 2024, where we have highway roads looking like neighborhood roads in most countries. It's terrible. I don't know what they are talking about.
Richard Ndifor is the SDF Secretary for Political Education and Training. He spoke with me from the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé.
Hello, I'm Vincent Macquarie, host of Straight Talk Africa. Join me to explore what is now and what is next for African society, culture, and politics. We'll go behind the headlines and emerging trends shaping Africa today. Straight Talk Africa, every Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
In Sierra Leone, the Opposition All People's Congress, or APC, is denying media reports that it's kicking out its presidential candidate, Samora Camara, from the party's office in the capital, Freetown. Sidi Yaya Tuni, spokesperson for the APC, says the party's constitution demands that a presidential candidate vacate the office after an election. This, he says, forms part of the party's reorganization efforts to fully prepare for the next local and general elections. It comes as critics say the party's leadership has failed to hold the government accountable for its actions despite the economic challenges facing the country. But APC spokesperson Sidi Yaya Tunis tells me that the party is putting its house together to win future elections in spite of the criticisms.
The fact of the matter is, constitutionally, the position of leader of the party has become vacant since December 27, 2023. And as a normal practice, the custodian for the premises of the party, the Secretary General of the party, Lawyer Lansanat Dumbuya, requested for occupants of offices that have become vacant within the party turning properties that belong to the party, including the offices that they occupied while holding the positions of leader and deputy leader. A couple of weeks ago, the running mate of the party, Honorable Cherno Ba, turned in his keys to the office that he occupied within the party's headquarters. And all the Secretary General did was to ask the presidential candidate to do the same. But he has not been forced out of the office, as reported by local media.
So in preparation for the upcoming census, the upcoming local election, some critics of yours says the leadership has not really shown any interest to generate enthusiasm from supporters to be successful in the coming events. Your reaction to that?
Well, that is not true. In fact, that is the more reason why the Secretary General is asking for spaces within the party's premises. Because what we have done as a party, we have identified people to serve on various committees. Let us not forget that we have several things that we are working on. We have the tripartite committee report on which we are now acting to ensure that the recommendations are fully implemented, and we will need teams to look at that. And then also we have somebody currently representing us at Statistics Saloon for the census. But we need just one, more than just one person. We also want to set up a committee of experts that will focus on working on the census, that will focus on looking at specific areas relating to the census. And for those committees to be able to work properly, we will need office space for them so that they can focus on doing exactly what the party wants them to do. We want to ensure that we are prepared ahead of the next general election. So every aspect that has to do with electioneering, we want to ensure that we are able to fully participate. And so starting with that is making sure that we have enough workspaces so that people can really sit and focus on specific areas of activities that have been assigned to them by the party.
What about some of your critics saying that you are not acting as a real opposition by holding the government accountable in spite of the challenges, the economic challenges the country faces?
Well, maybe these are people who are not following local media, or these are people who are not following happenings within the country. We have several ways that we have been taking on the government. We have been very active in taking on government on several issues. But of course, we also have to be honest that since the June 2023 elections, we have been very much engaged, firstly, with the Agreement for National Unity, and then later with the Tripartite Committee. Even as I speak now, you have a certain set of people that are still busy engaging in spreading misinformation and disinformation about something that is being coined as electoral justice, misinforming our people that there is a pending removal of President Biya from office and installing Dr. Samora Kamara as the president by the international community. I mean, any sane person, that is not true.
Sidi Yaya Tunis is the spokesperson of the Opposition All People's Congress, or APC. He spoke with me from the Sierra Leonean capital, Freetown. This is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs and Music from African Collection. But first,
Nigerian defense officials announced the discovery to journalists in Abuja on Thursday and called for heightened vigilance. Major General Edward Buba, the defense spokesperson, did not provide details on whether the group had carried out any major attack.
Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. On Wednesday morning, many Americans awoke relaxed and contented that no harm has been done to them and their family. Reason being that the elections went quietly with only some fake bombing in places like Georgia. But by and large, everyone was smiling. Regrettably, the media, the morning of Wednesday, engaged in what I would call boilerplate Monday quarterbacking about the results. I say boilerplate because the same attitude was taken by the media on the 16th, 2016, when then-candidate Donald Trump defeated candidate Hillary Clinton. Of course, for the African population, it is not possible for so many to have witnessed the elections in the United States. Although VOA African program went out of the way to educate the African public about the ins and outs of the election. So the early attempt to frame the discourse of the election may have led others like Africans not to understand what happened. Let me try to give an idea, an analysis of what happened. The most perplexing part of the speculation and framing of a new narrative about the election was the accusation that the elections showed that the Democratic Party must find a way to talk to non-college voters. Specifically, they noticed that some small number of African-American young ones, minority, were determined to vote for candidate Trump. But this was flagged very early. And in fact, former President Obama and his wife tried to talk to the young people and let them know that their votes are necessary for their own safety. Candidate Kamala Harris also spoke to them and told them that our economic plan had provisions to meet their needs, because they have argued that the Democratic Party has abandoned them. Nevertheless, the records show that these young African-Americans carried out their wishes and voted for candidate Donald Trump. I don't think the Democrats should be blamed for that. We learn from studies, psychological studies, that persons who are convinced against their will would always maintain their opinion still. The next question was the vote of the Hispanics. Normally and traditionally, Hispanics have voted heavily for the Democratic Party. But this time, the record shows that 45% of Islamic voters voted for candidate Trump. And many tried to blame the Democrats for not working hard to change their views. It is surprising because, as many would know, Hispanics were the targets of severe criticism and threat. But even that, as in the case of the African American, the analyst should have pointed out that the overwhelming majority of African Americans voted for candidate Kamala Harris. Similarly, even though 45% of the Hispanic voted for Trump, the overall majority of Hispanic did vote for candidate Kamala Harris. And the next thing which was not discussed at length by the media is the fact that in Michigan, for example, and in particular Dearborn, where many Islamic and Palestinians live, they did signal that they would not vote for the Democrat because they blamed President Biden for too much support of the Israelis, even when they were committing genocide. But the Democratic Party did also deal with the problem. Kamala Harris met several times with these Islamic Arab voters. She says she understood their frustration, particularly after the killing of so many Palestinians. But she explained that as vice president under President Biden, she must follow the leader. That's the role of the vice president. But she did promise that this should she win, she would try to find a way to bring the war to an end. These three factors may have done harm to the candidature of Kamala Harris. But one must also be fair to say that the Democratic candidate did win the majority of voters with college education. And it's also true that the African Americans voted overwhelmingly for candidate Kamala Harris. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. Famous. Hello. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa. This is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent.
Get one life for live. Why we never use I'm glad and enjoy the time. Palava no they finish. Time in order with nobody. Now why are they trying for always get them nice every day and night? This one way we all friend we step not nobody on. You wanna get with you much, we go down the belly, now you young. And the balance where you go die left the order money on. So why for the pity you said for? Find us where you collect Bilam, Bilam, oh. You meet a woman where you let Pianam, Yanam. And it's the if you let the man na for keeper. Want them, oh. The food where you feel for it's and for it's and it's and that fine la pan where you let na for Bayan. And I am, oh. And if you baby love you, you back love them, love them. But if they love them all, now you na for left them. Want them, oh. Nobody know, nobody know what it's too much at all. So every day of my life, they are old. I've passing enjoyment, stay go. Now for land, for care for yourself. Nobody love you, pass to yourself. All man, they fed for yourself. Now why all the alarm with your other man, they panting. Me peace away, away. Me joy away, away. Me smile away, away. Oh, no, no. No, make nobody take you peace away, away. Me joy away. Every day. As you they also they work for the pay. They like na boku on a small you catch. Land for the loose body one no one ten. No too money, no too gently. No money make but a man and brother. As long as you get waiting, you they eat. Land for the loose body one no one ten. This one way we all friend we safe. Na nobody on. You want to eat with too much, we go down the belly. Now you young. Get the balance where you go die left. Na order money on. So why for the pity you say for? Tell the motor car where you let buy em, buy em. If you see finals where you collect Bilam, Bilam, oh. You meet a woman where you let Pianam, Pianam. And if you let me man na for keep em, want them, oh. The food where you feel for eat em, for eat em, eat em. That fine the power where you let na for buy em, and try em, oh. Baby love you, you back love them, love them. But if they love them all, now you not forever. Want them more. Cause nobody know. Nobody know what's in tomorrow old. So every day of my life, they are old. I'm passing enjoyment, stay go. Now for land, for care for yourself. Nobody love you, pass to yourself. All man, they bet for yourself. Oh. Now why are not the allowed with the other man? They panting, take me peace away.
You like, I'm not gonna ever tell the lies. go buy you things you like. Baby, not only you want. No, 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 say true love not the lie. Oh, no, no, true love not the high. Oh, baby, oh, baby. Now the little, little things you do can drive me crazy. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Now the little, little things you do can drive me crazy. Now me and you fly forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely. We'll never walk away. Baby, now me and you fly forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely. I'll never walk away. I love me to kiss your pen away. Hey, mama. Whoa. Can you go for love? For love. Ooh, mama. Can I go love you? Love you. I go hold you,
hold you,
hold you.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I'm not gonna leave you anyway. Me, I go do the things you like. I'm not gonna ever tell the lies. I go buy you things you like. True love not the lie. Oh no, no. True love not the high. Oh baby. Oh baby. Now the little, little things you do can drive me crazy. Oh baby. Oh baby. Now the little, little things you do can drive me crazy. Now me and you fly forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely. We'll never walk away. Baby, now me and you for life. Forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely. We'll never walk away. Everything we choose, I'm alive. Never mind for dying at your hand, yeah. Die at your hand, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ooh, when I look at you, I see my future in you. When you smile, my baby, when I love my baby, you got the keys right to my city. Got me no one for leading.
Now the little, little things you do can drive me crazy.
Sweetie, now me and you fly forever in my arms. We'll never leave lonely. We'll never walk away.
Baby, now me and you fly forever in my arms.
Picking my wedding papa and trusting to go
papa, I trop, c'est compassion.
Was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoyed the music from Nightline Africa here at the English to Africa service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters and engineer Bob Bass, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, the little opportunity given to a monkey to wear clothes does not guarantee it to join the dining table. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa. We don't want trouble, no more, don't you